Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group. Now, your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'd like to welcome in all of our subscribers and, of course, all any new listeners or people that like to follow the show or have been turned on to it by some of your friends or family or coaches, parents, anybody that that's out there that's doing the wonderful job of sharing. And I know that's where a lot of our new listeners each week are coming from, is just the general public that's passionate about the game for their kids and themselves and trying to make a better experience for us all. So appreciate you all very much. But let me tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are Youth Baseball Talk, and you can learn a whole lot more about us, and especially with our past episodes and some of the great partners that we have at youthbaseballtalk.com. I think you'll find that we're very engaged on social media with our followers. Twitter is a great avenue for us, as we use it quite often for all the quick and easy things that are kind of happening out there as far as sharing information. At Podcast Baseball is our handle there. Facebook is always a great way to communicate as well. There's so much traveling around out there in the Facebook world that the information is endless, and we try to sort through it. And of course, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is where you'll find us. But of course, my favorite thing in the show is when I hear from you guys directly, whether it be about a current topic we're discussing, and it really doesn't matter which side of the line you fall. I love to have conversations with people that completely disagree with anything I'm saying or anything I'm talking about. I love it because that's really the only way you learn. info@youthbaseballtalk.com is the best way to reach me. As I mentioned before, I welcomed in our subscribers. That is the best way to follow the show. When you subscribe through iTunes or any of these other ones I'm about to mention, you'll receive the show as soon as we put it out in the airwaves. So to subscribe, you just go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and just click subscribe. It's that easy. We love ratings and love reviews. Anything you'd like to say, anything you'd like to give us, 5 stars, always greatly appreciated. Once again, happy to mention that I'm part of the Lineup Media Group, and couldn't be prouder to be part of it, as the lineup here, no pun intended, just continues to expand with phenomenal entertainment value, depending on what it is that you enjoy listening to and discussing and finding. There's just so many new shows, and I happen to sit in on some of these meetings with the production staff, and it will not be long, and our catalog will double, excuse me, and I think you're going to find that there's going to be more and more types of shows out there that you guys are asking for. So I'm real excited about that, of course. And just to mention a couple, obviously my friend Pete Caliendo has the Inside Pitch, which is a great baseball show. That he tackles some different types of looks on the game than I do. Pete's real traveled. I mean, he's been all over the globe when it comes to the game of youth baseball, and he's a great avenue for information, especially when it comes to where you can go and what you can do with the game of baseball. So really appreciate Pete. With football season, I mean, we don't think about football season, but we have On the Clock, a great show about football and insight and what's going on with football. And, of course, our own Jono, the Ocho Man, he's here. He's doing his Dallas Cowboys podcast. He's very passionate. I mention it because there's Dallas Cowboy fans all over the world. And if you're interested, it's a very passionate take on the Cowboys and where they're going. So it might be a great opportunity for you to jump in, especially if you're a Cowboy fan. And I happen to know that just as many Cowboy haters like to get involved as well. So I would love if some of you Cowboy haters got on there and gave my man some crap. So I think that'd be good stuff. As always, my ask of you is just if you appreciate the show and you feel like it's either helped you or given you just an opportunity to vent or feel like you've been heard, share it with your friends, because that is by far the biggest way that we know that we have grown. And it's just simple. Just share it with your friends on whatever it is you use to communicate with your friends, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, email. Communication is always the greatest thing in the world, and whichever way it is that you communicate with the people that you're involved with, especially within the game of baseball, if you can push our show out to them, we cannot thank you enough for doing that. And our shameless plug, of course, is we always ask that, since we know internet shopping is such a big part of the world these days and everybody does it, yourself, myself included, Give us some love. The next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, which we all know it's the mega giant, okay, before you do that, go to our website, youthbaseballtalk.com. Just click the Amazon banner down on the right. Will not cost you a thing, but we'll get credit for that referral, and it helps us keep the show on the air. So we really appreciate all of our friends at Amazon for allowing us to be part of their system there. So last week's episode was very well received. Travis is a really engaging guy, and a lot of people in the baseball world know who he is, especially if you've done your research and your homework. So I had the opportunity to have him on for a real extended period of time, and I took advantage of it. So we covered a couple different things. Obviously, Travis was really passionate about the rant that I had put out a couple weeks prior to my conversation with him, and how it touched on youth pitching and what we're doing, the things that we're doing wrong, things we're doing right, things like that. And guys at the highest level just scratch their head at some of the things. And I'll say we, because even though I don't do it now, I did do it 9 years ago. So I'm going to lump myself in because I did do it. But I did it because I was uneducated at the time, and I thought it was okay. And when I realized it wasn't, I stopped. So it's that simple. But so I lump myself in with that because I've been as guilty as anybody else. But the guys at that level scratch their heads at the things that we do with our kids. Now, for us to just assume that we're smarter than them or know more than them is crazy. I'm sorry. It just is. We do not spend our life. It is not our livelihood to do this. It's time to start listening to the guys that do this for a living and are very good at it. And listen, Travis is great. I love Travis. There's a lot of great guys out there. Travis would tell you that. He has guys in that world that he follows. So if I was you, I would start doing some homework and ask the tough questions. That's what this show is about. It's about asking the tough questions. It's about asking questions, knowing all along you might get an answer you don't want to hear. You know, I mean, for people out there, and you're out there, and you're listening, and I don't know which side of the fence you fall on. You might be upset with me for saying it out loud. You may be relieved that somebody's saying it out loud. But either way, okay, nothing good can come of your son throwing three innings on Saturday and three innings on Sunday. It's not worth it. Now, your son might be that stud pitcher, and you may love sitting there watching him do his thing, so that at the end of the day, you may not want to hear that it's wrong. Okay, you may not want to hear that. So maybe you don't want to ask the question and you want to trust your coach. Okay, that's fine. That is your prerogative. But I challenge everybody out there to go out and find a respected professional and ask them if that's okay. And if there's any of them out there, I would love for you to call in. You can email me, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. I'd love to know your background, love to know your credentials, and I'd love to know your argument for why that's okay. And I would let you come on my show and rebut what every professional in the business, whether it be dealing with kids all the way up to professionals, says is absolutely crazy. So I would love to have the conversation. So I challenge you to do that. But anyway, back to Travis, because it was such a great show. Had the opportunity to talk to him about some of the things he does from a training perspective, and I wanted to bring that to you guys as part two of my episode with Travis. And of course, we're going to play that second part of the interview here in just a second, and then on the other side of the break, of course, we're going to hear from everybody's favorite Domingo and his theory of baseball, and then we'll hear from our good partners, Rick Strickland over with the St. Louis Pirates, and we'll hear from Justin Stone with Elite Baseball. That information every week is so well received by you guys that I can't tell you how much I appreciate the comments on all of that. So without waiting any longer, let's go to part two of my interview with Travis Kerber as he dives in a little bit to how it is and what it is he does when we start talking about that hot button topic, velocity, how to get it properly, what it really means, and where it's going. So let's hear from Travis, part two of my interview with him. Excited to be back on the other side here with our good friend Travis Kerber from Elite Baseball out of Chicago. Their wonderful elitebaseball.tv has helped so many people with their own personal training with their kids or team training. There's a wonderful segment in there from Travis. And if you're just catching up here on part two, if you go back to part one, you'll learn a little bit about Travis and his feelings on some of the things we're doing with kids. But the first thing I want to do is I want to welcome Travis back into the show. Travis, hope you enjoyed your little break there.
Yeah, needed it. I had to cool down a little bit.
I was going
to
say, I've seen you speak in public and in front of mass audiences, and I don't know how you do it. I mean, you're obviously in great shape, so that's good. I want to talk about your I've been excited about this part of it because it's helped tremendously with a lot of kids that I know. And that is, if you're a part of Elitebaseball.tv, which is a phenomenal thing that you guys do, it's basically baseball instruction by video, and anybody can access it. If you just go to Elitebaseball.tv, it's a very low cost for access to the thing for a whole year. And you guys are constantly putting up new videos and things to help people. And one, you know, obviously Justin Stone, who everybody hears from every week, does his stuff on there. And obviously with you being the head instructor at Elite Baseball TV, I know that you handle the majority of the pitching stuff. And your sequential pitching video is nothing short of amazing. And and it says it right here if you go on there. And again, for all of our people that I know you like to follow along, Elitebaseball.tv. When you get on there, if you'll scroll down a little bit, you'll see the sequential trainings. And on the right, you're going to see sequential pitching. And you've got it right there. Documented average of 6 miles per hour velocity spike by learning the sequential mechanics. And you and I, I've had the opportunity, obviously, to be with you in person numerous times. I've watched you speak. I've watched you work with my own kids and other kids and at camps and things like that. And, you know, the big thing here is that don't take this, you know, obviously that's a flashy thing. Ooh, you're going to gain 6 miles an hour. But the reality of it is you guys are committed to doing it the correct way. And I think that's what sequential means to me, is that there's a proper way to do this. It isn't just about, exertion's a big part of it, but we're not going to overexert improperly. So this is such a big part of the process. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the sequential pitching part of this and kind of how it works?
All right. So first, kind of as I jump into that, you know, obviously addressing the monster in the room, because velocity is always a topic that, you know, gets thrown around. Like, well, don't worry about, you know, throwing hard, throw strikes. And some people are like, you got to throw hard. And I don't, you know, that's always the big thing that I think that probably comes up the most, you know. And you know, you brought up a point that I want to make sure people understand, you know, throwing the ball hard is not just picking up a ball and chucking it, although that sometimes is effective. But, you know, it's really a combination of multiple things, and that's kind of what the sequential thing goes into is, you know, before we even do velocity work, a lot of times with guys where we really try to let them gear up and go, you know, we make sure that they're physically able to handle it, you know, whether that's a strength thing, you know, whether it's strengthening up the shoulder, the scaps, the hips, the legs, whatever it ends up being that might be weak, the core, or addressing fundamental flexibility issues, those things all lead into inefficiencies. So, you know, before your body even moves, if your body's not prepared to move the right way, that's not going to help you either. And, you know, so we always address that first, is where are our limitations? So how hard are we able to go? And, you know, I do that with the kids in our organization, especially since I get to be with them, obviously, more than people that I just get to work with in lessons. And in this offseason, there was guys in our organization that didn't get to get on a mound for, you know, well into six to eight weeks after we took our break, because their body wasn't in the right shape for me to let them try to really let it rip yet. And it's important for people to understand that, is, and that's especially with youth kids, is that these kids are growing. You know, you got to make sure that they're fundamentally able to do the things that you're even requiring them to do, by making sure they have, you know, simple fundamental strengths. You know, we're not asking, you know, youth kids to lift weights, you know, but being able to do, you know, bouncing on one leg, being able to do, you know, partial one-legged squats or do lunges or stuff that's going to require mobility through your hips, legs, shoulders, and arm. And then that takes us into what the sequential program is. And the sequential program is basically being able to keep energy moving through a system. And that's the simplest way to think about it, is that we're trying to keep energy moving without a interruption. So once it starts, it continues to move along a path of movements, and then it's not interrupted. And I think that's the biggest thing as a thrower, is where we lack, because there's so much of the, if I put a kid on the mound, and I always say throwing from the youth standpoint is on the mound, because I think that's the way most people look at it. Realistically, throwing is throwing position regardless. But we put in this control theory of, okay, well, you gotta throw strikes. And you got to make sure that you hit the guy right in the chest. Like, you can't miss that one spot. Like, don't miss that spot. We put so much pressure on these kids to have to command the baseball that they don't make good athletic movements. That's like telling a kid running to first base, hey, you know, make sure you just go slow enough and move the way you have to move so that there's no possible way you can trip and fall. Nobody tells a kid to do that. You're like, go run, man. If you fall down, let's figure out a better plan so we don't fall down next time. But let's not necessarily just go slow and try to control something. And so when you get a kid, especially at a young age, that feels like if I don't hit my partner in the chest playing catch, or if I don't throw this ball over the plate, that I'm going to be unsuccessful at what I'm doing. But that creates a lot of unathletic habits. And that then starts to multiply when you start taking a kid that does that, and he does it year after year after year. And then that's typically then when I get the kid coming into me. And the parent's like, you know, he can throw the ball pretty straight, but he has nothing to it. And then I watch the kid throw, and the first thing that comes to mind is, yeah, there's no movement pattern. It's just a conglomerate of 10 different movements that all don't happen in any sort of order. And then you wonder why you're not getting an athletic action to happen after that. So that's kind of where the sequential plan comes into place, is how do we move the body, and how do we keep energy moving through the body without it stopping?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think as both a parent and a coach, I look at some of the things that, again, I say this all the time, I've been so lucky to be around guys like yourself. And I know obviously you're in Chicago and I don't see you that often, just on the occasions that we're doing stuff together. But, you know, obviously in here in St. Louis, and I know you're familiar with some of the guys that my kids are fortunate to be around, like Rick Strickland's group over at the Pirates and Brian DeLunas over at P3. And it's, you know, as you guys that are into this, you know, that have figured this out and you're into this next level, the terminology and the types of things are all the same and they don't change. And you know, the example I use is, and I say this all the time, the first thing is, I look at the people out there that are trying, and again, I think that's all we're trying to do here is educate people, right? So I think about the people that I talk to, and when I tell them, especially because, you know, like with the show, we talk about not overthrowing and resting and doing all this stuff, and I tell people, are like, oh, what's Tyler doing? And I'm like, well, you know, he goes to this thing over in St. Louis in the winter, and they're like, wait a minute, I thought you said he shouldn't be throwing. And I'm like, go watch what they do. He hasn't picked up a baseball in 3 months. He's over there learning how to move his body. He's over there trying to be a better athlete. He's over there getting stronger. He's over there learning all this stuff that has nothing to do with actually holding a baseball in his hand. And I think that's the uneducated part that people do. And, you know, it applies to everything, though. I think about my younger son, and, you know, he's fortunate enough to hit with Rick Strickland, who, you know, obviously everybody knows, I think, is a great hitting guy. And, you know, Logan's a younger, smaller style player. And, you know, Rick one day says to me, he says, listen, he's doing, and not that I was questioning, he just said, hey, you know, listen, he just can't do a couple of things right now because he's just not strong enough. We need to get him stronger. He needs to go in that room over there. And going in that room over there was the area where their guy that does all the strength and conditioning and the athletic movements. He's like, trust me, he's going to get more right now out of just being a stronger, better athlete than he will ever get out of a hitting lesson. And to hear a guy that's a well-thought-of hitting guy say, right now, this is what he needs more help with. Not me. He needs this guy more than he needs me right now. Kind of like what you're saying. Right now, it's not about putting a ball in somebody's hand. It's about teaching them how to move. And the analogy to me is what we tell our kids. We don't swing and miss enough. We got too many kids just trying to hit the ball that we don't swing the bat athletic. And I think that's where that whole thing that gets thrown around a lot, ooh, he's robotic, he's real mechanical. That, to me, is what that means. Would that be a good assessment from layman terms?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it is. You know, parents are like, well, it looks like he's just kind of pushing the ball. And I'm like, that's because he is pushing the ball, because he's trying to make sure it's going in a direction. You know, and what you brought up with Rick, you know, is a great point, and I think it's important that it gets said again from my side, too, is that is true. I mean, there's kids that I've had come in and, you know, I'm like, hey, listen, you know, one thing we have to get done is you got to start doing band work, you know, or you got to start doing your J bands. You got to start doing, you know, your arm care stuff, because all this stuff is great. But if your arm can't handle what the energy that's passing through your body puts through it, you're not going to have anything successful happen. And then I'll get parents, well, how much do those cost? And my first response to them is, here's how important it is then. My lesson costs more than J bands. So next time, skip a lesson with me and go and get the J bands, because you're going to get way more out of that than you are coming to one more lesson with me. And, you know, the same thing applies now as, you know, I started doing some weighted plyo ball stuff through Driveline, and it's helped immensely with kids being able to better understand the efficiency of their arm action, because it's a slightly heavier object in their arm, so their body has to figure out a more efficient way to move that ball. And the same thing came up with a kid I had the other day, and you know, I said, listen, like, we can fix his arm action, the efficiency of his movement, by spending time on his timing and awareness and stuff like that. I said, but he's going to be able to fix it a lot quicker being able to pattern his arm using some of the plyo system through Driveline. And same question, I said, listen, if it means that he skips his next lesson, then skip the next lesson. You know, take care of the things that are important. You know, I think a lot of times parents are still not on purpose, but misconstrued about the success their kids have. And it's like they want to see them be successful on the field, but they don't realize that there's other things that are important to them, like the strength aspect, like the flexibility, arm care, like all the stuff that goes into it, instead of just, you know, putting your kid out there for battle and saying, hey man, I hope it works out well for you. You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, I think it's really important that we continue to make sure that education is there, because parents, I know, care about their kids. And I think once they're educated as to what's the important stuff, that's definitely going to help that fact.
I'm seeing more and more guys like yourself and the Brian DeLunas's of the world, and now Zach, and it was Brett Huber before over at the Pirates, talk more about, and you brought it up, about the throwing and pushing. It, to me, because I think what is one, you know, one of the biggest calls out of the stands when it comes to pitching is, don't try to throw it so hard, just throw strikes. We hear that all the time, right? So that, to me, as a baseball guy, that's almost the, what, you know, the chicken or the egg, what came first. And I'm hearing more and more guys like yourself, and I would say, just throw it. Throw it through a wall and try to figure out how to throw it. Don't aim it. Don't do all this. I mean, obviously, you know, we want them to throw strikes, but it's more of a, you know, I tell some of my kids all the time that struggle a little bit of that. If you throw it and you give an effort, a max effort, I think you're athletic enough to figure it out. But if you slow down all the time and you try to be real fine and do all this, you're going to change mechanics all the time. And that's when it becomes even harder to throw strikes. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, for people that know me, that have done lessons with me and stuff like that, you know, the first thing that happens is I always look at a kid and I say, okay, when we first start out, I said, here's the thing. Number one, I don't care where the ball goes. I said, you're going to notice that I'm not going to even look down to the other end of the cage, because it doesn't matter to me. You know, I said, realistically, when your body moves well, the ball's going to end up where it should end up. If your thought process is the end result, you're not going to ever be able to fix what comes before it. And then my analogy always goes to them, that's like setting up a tape line like a runner would use to finish a race, and just practicing leaning forward and breaking the tape. Because if you can't get out of the starter block right, or you don't have enough coordination to run fast enough to beat people, you never get to break the tape. So why are you practicing breaking the tape? That's like practicing throwing strikes when your body doesn't move right. Why are you trying to create something down there when everything down here is not allowing that to happen? And I think it's really important that, you know, as parents go, even as it goes with throwing, it goes less away from, that's what I was bringing up before, about going and trying to throw strikes every pitch. Because it's, yes, I get the point of the game. You got to throw strikes, otherwise guys walk. And I understand that part of it, but you're not teaching your kid to be athletic, yet you're asking them to be athletic. You know, the point, especially for young kids, has to be athletic. Learn how your body moves, you know. And I think kids are exploring their body even less because sometimes they're overcoached. You know, they're told so many things that they're just trying to appease people by doing things right, as opposed to exploring. You know, the only way you can be successful is to fail. You have to fail to find the right way. I mean, I know when I was, you know, first out of college and getting into the independent ranks of baseball, I did a lot of exploring. I can't even tell you the amount of hours and the amount of years I had trying to figure out really what fit my body the best. You know, and I think there's never obviously a one size fits all. So it was me exploring, okay, what if I put more pressure here? What if I load this more there? What if I stay more upright? Or what if I change my posture this way? Or what if my stride length this? Or my arm action that? Or, you know, and I failed a lot trying to figure out how my body worked. And I think that's where kids now get this thing like, it's not okay to fail. Like, I've got to do it right every single time. Otherwise, somebody's going to be riding me about doing it wrong. And it's important for them to understand that you're going to fail, especially in practice. Practice isn't supposed to be successful. Practice is supposed to put you in an uncomfortable position because you're trying to create something, some kind of movement pattern or some kind of strength gaining thing that you're not comfortable with. And when you're not comfortable, it's not going to be a ton of fun as you're first doing it. It's supposed to be a little bit of work because you're trying to figure out something new. So I think it's really important that, you know, kids learn to explore and kids learn to not think that, you know, there's always one right path, or that if I don't throw a strike or if I don't hit the first baseman right in the chest that I'm a failure. That it's more like, listen, I'm just training myself to be an athlete, and once my body's really ready to handle what I want it to do, then I can be great, as opposed to I'm trying to be a big leaguer when I'm nine. Because you can't be a big leaguer when you're nine. You can be a good ball player when you're nine, but you can't be a big leaguer. So don't try to, you know, feel like you're trying to live up to that standard where somebody's giving you $1 million to get a job done, because that's what a big leaguer is. A big leaguer is getting paid to get a job done. When you're a kid, you're not getting paid. All you're trying to do is be an athlete.
So for our kids, that brings me to the question that I get all the time, and I don't have the right answer. And you know, I don't even know that you're going to say this is the right answer, but it's probably a generalization, and there's probably a lot more to it than just a number. And that is, what is the right age for a kid to come see Travis Kerber or a Brian DeLunas, or go to the Pirates and see Rick and Zach and those guys, or any of the other great programs? I mean, again, these are the guys I work with. I know there's a ton of great programs across the country, and you know, they have pitching programs, and everybody's getting smarter and better. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I think that's great. You know, again, these guys I mentioned are just guys that I work with, and they're part of the show, and I do appreciate them. But there's a ton of great programs across country, and a ton of guys doing great things with pitching. So whoever that is, what is the whether it be a number, or what do you look for when you say, you know what, it's time?
When a kid is ready to do it, and the way I say that is, like, if my son, who's now six, can't shoot a basketball high enough to make it into a hoop that he's trying to make it into, I'm not going to go take him in for basketball lessons on how to shoot. Because at that point, he's not even physically strong enough to achieve the act that we're trying to achieve. So at that point, I'm going to get him outside, and we're going to go jump on top of stuff, and we're going to climb under stuff, and we're going to, you know, jump rope, and you know, whatever it is to athletically get him better in a situation that he's ready to handle it. Then I'm going to take him in, you know. And, you know, there's certain things, you know, if it came down to something else that he could do, if it was dribbling, let's say, in basketball. I'm just going to use a different sport so it's not in the baseball reference. But, you know, if it was dribbling, okay, well, at his age, he could dribble, okay? Am I the best dribbling instructor on the planet? No. So if he was playing basketball and that's something he enjoyed, then I would take him in, you know? So at that point, it really becomes a matter of, you know, what your monetary constraint is, because obviously it's not cheap to be able to do something like that, you know? So I always tell kids the best thing to do, or parents, the best thing to do is, you know, when your kid is ready for a specific thing, take him to a camp first. You know, take him to a camp where he's getting more time and he's getting, you know, a little bit more general information about how the body moves and how the body works. And then once, you know, he's kind of gotten through that and he's got a good understanding and he's had some time to be able to kind of play around with it, explore around with those movements, then move on to doing one-on-one stuff, you know. And something like throwing is, I always say, a little bit different than hitting, because if you throw incorrectly, you're just increasing the likelihood you're going to get hurt. And if you swing incorrectly, you're just increasing the likelihood that you're going to miss the ball. So, you know, for younger kids, it's never, you know, I think too early to start movement patterning stuff, you know. And even if it's not throwing a ball, even if it's, you know, as simple as doing some other task to help that movement patterning, I think that's a great thing to do. You know, and there's a lot of great people out there that do stuff like that, that just do physical training of movement patterns. You know, if I'm a parent, you know, I'm gonna make sure that my kid is moving his body right first. So, you know, taking him to somebody that can train him in athletic movement patterns, you know, whether it be incorporate the upper half with the lower half, you know, jumping jacks or lunges with a twist, or, you know, things that are going to incorporate movement plans that aren't necessarily specific to throwing. But then bring them into somebody like myself or somebody else out there that has good information base on how the body moves, where, like I tell people all the time, I said, I don't really feel like I'm a pitching instructor. I'm more of a movement specialist, where it's like, listen, man, like, everybody moves different because of the way we're built, strength levels, flexibility levels, coordination levels. So realistically, my job on a daily basis is to help kids better understand their movement plan by watching where they're efficient and where they're inefficient.
Obviously, you've helped. I mean, I happen to know this. I mean, you've helped kids from all over the world, which is a true story, because you guys, people find you guys, and through recommendations, they bring you guys as far as overseas. I know you guys are getting ready to make another trip over to Europe to work with another organization and teach them how to do it. But a big part of all this is your guys' wonderful product, Elitebaseball.tv. I know that this is something you guys have been hot and heavy on now for, I'll let you tell the exact time, but I know it's been over a year now for sure, a couple years for sure. But this has played a large role in a lot of people and their ability to teach and get better at teaching. What is the best way? Tell our listeners a little bit about how they can go about getting it and the proper way to use it.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, it's been a great implement for us to be able to do, and you know, we're adding new things to it constantly. I know we're adding in a youth corner now, because I think, you know, sometimes when Justin and I get onto rants, sometimes when we're doing our videos, sometimes I think, you know, for the youngest of the crowd that's kind of going through and watching the videos, they're a little bit harder to pick apart. As it would be for a parent to watch and then maybe give to a kid. So we started adding into the youth corner now, where we're tailoring videos towards kids, so the kids can also really get a really good grasp of what we're saying with a little less technicality. So it's a great implement, not only for coaches, parents, but, you know, even for kids. You can find it at elitebaseballtraining.com or elitebaseball.tv to sign up. You know, a year subscription, again, this goes back to, we're talking about, you know, taking your kid to a strength training session as opposed to a lesson. Same thing. I mean, elitebaseball.tv for under $100 a year membership, I would rather have a kid skip a lesson and for them to get that, where they have access to that, to be able to have the information always at their fingertips, because they're not always going to be able to come and see us. You know, we added a new thing to it now too, where members of elitebaseball.tv have access through a Facebook page with us, where they can send in videos of their kid hitting, throwing, etc., and say, hey, listen, here's where my kid's been struggling, you know, what do you guys see? And we can give them instant feedback. You know, I think that something like that's invaluable, because now it's not you just watching the video and trying to learn and move on, but now you have the access to be able to send us a video directly through Facebook, and you know, our response time is almost like a race, you know, between me, Justin, and Matt Pierce that we have out working with us out through Texas. It's almost a race as who can respond quickest. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you're not putting up a video and then waiting 4 days to get something back. You know, you're getting some instant feedback that can help you in the process of continuing to work with your kid, even if you're not in the Chicagoland area to work with us physically.
No, it's firsthand. I've benefited from it. Justin's been great, as a view to my own kids and some kids that I know that he's helped from here. And at any time, you know, I send you guys a video and you guys answer back fairly quickly. I say it all the time. You guys have too much time on your hands, but I know you don't. So that just tells me how passionate you are about helping the kids. And again, I can't recommend this product enough. I've had so many people tell me it's awesome. They listen to Justin or yourself on the show and they go and get it. And really it's for the price of Netflix, basically. And you have access to this. And you know, as your kid gets older too, having your kid have the ability to watch these videos on his own and take ownership and learn. It's been for my 13-year-old, it's been the biggest thing for his growth and development, is his basic, first off, his want to, and that was after he met you and Justin. His want to get on there by himself and watch things and try to emulate and do things. It's been one of the biggest things I've known and I've seen in his growth this year for sure. So obviously the younger kids, you know, it'd be a good thing to do together with a parent. But as they get older, having access to it is awesome. And you guys, you know, keep up the amount of material on there and try to help people. And make no mistake about it, it's as important, if not more important, for coaches. And I coach with some guys in like our quote unquote organization. And I mean, I'm telling you, one of the other coaches that we have, I mean, he's told me so many times about the amount of stuff that he's gotten off there and used in his practice. And for him, I love this, listening to him talk about using it and seeing kids get better and then turning their parents onto it. Been a great process, I know, for us personally, and obviously I highly recommend it, as I do you and Justin both. So but you know, as always, Travis, you never disappoint. You're obviously very knowledgeable about what you're talking about, but yet you're also passionate, and it's obvious that you care about the kids first, and that's why I love working with you guys. And you know, I could talk baseball with whether it be you or Justin or any of the guys probably too long. We could make multiple episodes, but for this week and for what we were talking about, I couldn't have picked anybody better. So I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Thanks, Jim, man. And thank you for everything you do for the baseball community and getting such great people on and great information out to the masses.
No, it's a pleasure. And like I said, anytime I can have you guys on and pass along your knowledge to the people out there that want it, it's a win-win for all of us. So I look forward. I got to get up to Chicago, and these Cubs, I don't know how Justin and you guys are all living in the same building working. I don't know how that's going right now.
Yeah, those Cardinals aren't quite keeping up this year.
Yeah, I know. And Justin told me it was going to be a rough year for him, I think. But anyway, so I'll get up there, and you guys can take me to a Cards Cubs game, and I'll let you gloat all you want, just so I can go to Wrigley Field. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, that was our good friend of the show, Travis Kerber, with Elite Baseball out of Chicago, and their wonderful Elitebaseball.tv product. And you know, and again, I appreciated Travis giving me a shout and saying, hey, I know we were talking about me coming on. Let's do it, because I got to talk about your rant that you put out Monday. He goes, you couldn't, you know, not that I'm right, but he's like, you couldn't have hit more hot topics that I've had so many conversations with lately. And I want to talk about it now while it's fresh. And I do appreciate it, because like I said, I consider him to be a one of the tops in baseball instruction in the country for sure, and heck, out of the country. If you're not familiar with Elite Baseball and you become familiar with them, you're going to be shocked at, like, I know they went over to London a couple of months ago. An organization took them over there and wanted them to instruct their kids, their coaches. They got on the Elite Baseball program and how they do it. And now I think they just announced that another club out of Germany has contacted them, and I think they're going over there. I hope I got that right. But I think they're going over there over Memorial Day weekend. So these guys are becoming world famous, and you have access to them. And like he said, for $97 a year, you will have 100% access to the Elitebaseball.tv product. So I would definitely get on there and check it out. And again, I can't thank Travis enough for being on. But looking forward to to our segments that'll be coming up on the other side of the break here. And when we come back, we're gonna hear from Travis's cohort in crime, Justin Stone, and his Majestic Coach's Corner tip of the week. Of course, we'll hear from Rick Strickland. We'll talk a little bit about doing baseball the Ripken way. And of course, everybody's waiting to hear from our good friend Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you. Attention, coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Special thanks to our sponsors there. Really appreciate them. They're the lifeblood of the show. Keep us on the air. So thank you so much. And I'm happy to be back here on the second part. Great stuff from Travis. I could have conversations with guys like him all day long, because there's a big difference between a guy, you know, that's just talking to be talking and a guy that's talking. And you know, when you've done your research and you've researched his background and you see what he's all about, and it's not, you know, for him, it's more than just an opinion. I mean, it's an educated background, and, you know, the study of kinetics and years of listening to other people and trial and error. And unfortunately, that's really the only way sometimes some of this stuff gets done, is through trial and error and learning that, hey, this is not good, or every time we do this, we get this result. So, you know, sometimes you got to realize that change is a good thing. So really good stuff from Travis. And I know you guys really liked the first part of the episode last week, and hopefully you'll enjoy this week as well. So, but let's move on over to, I tell you, brought this guy on, did an interview with him, and it was, you know, obviously the kids love him. And I, you know, it was great, because that was the first time I got a lot of stuff from some of our younger audience. And I know they're out there, because I receive stuff and I talk to parents, but, you know, sometimes kids just want to listen and do their thing. But after I did this episode with him, it was great how many emails or direct messages I got saying, so excited that you have Domingo. I love him. He's my favorite guy. And did you see, you know, they're asking me, you know, Jim, did you see the YouTube one of him doing this? You need to go see this. So it was really great to see that. And it tells me that we're moving the show in the right direction and giving people what they want. But, I'm excited each and every week to bring you Domingo and his theory of baseball. And I got to tell you, it's all due, it's all made possible by our friends over at The Pitch Hitter. Go to thepitchhitter.com. What you're going to find here is an amazing product. And it's, in my opinion, it's one of the most important things you can get for your youth baseball players out there. We talk about certain things when it comes to pitching, and sometimes it can be painful watching young guys try to throw strikes, because it's, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But what the Pitch Hitter does is, what it allows you as a coach, it allows you as a parent, and it allows you as a young player to have a very portable and easily move around device that you can set up anywhere, anytime, and just practice throwing strikes, all the while having that batter in the batter's box. How many times do we see a kid in practice get in there and fill up the strike zone, get in a game, and when that other kid gets in there, he struggles? Listen, when you're a kid, it's only natural to not want to hit another kid, okay? It's real easy for us to sit on the other side of the fence in our chair and yell that famous phrase, just throw strikes. Well, do you think they don't want to throw strikes? Here's the thing. Let's help them. Let's help them throw strikes. Go to thepitchhitter.com. Right now, they have a current promotion going on. In the promo code, you're just going to put in PH10. You're going to receive 10% off the Pitch Hitter. Great idea. Really appreciate them offering this value to our listeners. And I know that if you purchase the Pitch Hitter, you will not be disappointed. And of course, when you're done learning how to pitch, right, you just turn it into a batting tee and you can work on your swing. Tremendous idea that these guys come up with. I think it's revolutionary. I think it's going to help the youth game all over the country. Can't tell you how much I support the Pitch Hitter. Great thing. Wish we would have had it when we were 8 years old. All right. Special thanks to them for bringing us this episode of Domingo and his Theory of Baseball. What you got for us this week, Domingo?
Gracias, Jim. Thank you for having me. And thank you to the pitch hitter. Again, man, if you want to improve your game, you got to get the pitch hitter. Do yourself a favor. Today, I want to talk about the two-strike approach. Now, Jim, I don't even know what this is until I go to the game the other day and I see a kid get to two strike and Mr. Coach yell at him to get in his two-strike approach, and now he crashed down real low, choke up on the bat about 3.5 inches, and he swing at the bat like he's not even trying to hit it hard. I have a coach one time tell me, don't be afraid to fail. Well, let me tell you something, Jim. A two-strike approach like that is being afraid to fail. Yeah, it might be better to ground out to the shortstop or second base instead of a strikeout. But both of them are still outs. Why not you try to give yourself a chance to hit a double or a home run? Sammy Sosa strike out once again. You think anyone tell him to have a two-strike approach? No way. His two-strike approach is trying to hit another home run. And that's why he hits so many home runs. So next time Mr. Coach tells you to get in your two-strike approach and to crowd the play and to choke up on the bat and to just put the ball in play, just think about your future. Because in the end, it's the home run that's going to get you paid, not the 40 hopper to second base. That's all I got for today, Jim. Thanks for having me. And again, just remember, if you get to two-strike, it no means you have to give up. And don't forget, if you want to be big time, get the pitch hitter.
Great stuff as always from my man Domingo. You better listen to him if you don't want to be semi-pro and you want to be big time. And of course, once again, special thanks to the pitch hitter, thepitchhitter.com. I think you'll find it will help you in your little leaguer. Let's go on over to my man Jesse. He's got a great topic this week, and it's something that it can hit close to home with all of us. Everybody's carrying around a phone, right? And everybody's looking for ways to help their young player. Justin's going to tell you how you can use your phone and help your young slugger. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim. And this is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv coming to you this week from the Majestic Coaches Corner. And just recently on EliteBaseball.tv, we started a members forum which allows our members to interact with us about what's going on with their sons and daughters on the field. I often get specific questions here early in the season about some struggles that the hitters may be having in a game accompanied with some video. So what we decided to do is go through a four-part segment on how you can use your smartphone to evaluate your son or daughter's progress and try to help remedy their issues they may have at the plate. So I'm going to go in brief detail about what each four-part segment is going to be and how you can use this to use your smartphone and start aiding your son or daughter now. And the first one goes with timing. This is going to be the biggest issue for success or failure with players in a game. So what I suggest you do with the smartphone is get behind the umpire's view where you have the hitter and the pitcher in frame. For hitters to have good timing at the ball bat collision, they have to have good timing with their start. And this is the load stride process. Therefore, we want the player's forward advance to coincide with the pitcher's release. Those of you that have iPhones, put it on the slow-mo setting. And at 120 frames per second, you're going to be able to very easily see if the forward advance is matching up to the pitcher's release. We can always start that a little earlier and still survive. But if the player is starting the forward advance while the ball is already pitched and it's in the air, we're too late in our timing. Thus, we're going to have to rush tempo and mechanics, and basically the swing is going to fall apart. You're going to have very reduced success at that point. Number two, we want to check the pace of the stride, and that goes hand in hand with timing. We know we want to be slow, smooth, and under control during the load stride process. Once the stride foot hits the ground, we want to shift into an explosive gear. Now, if you look at your son or daughter's swing and it looks like it's one pace, meaning the stride is fast and the swing is fast, if those paces are the same, then we have an issue. What ends up happening there is the upper body becomes dominant in the swing, ends up working at the same time or ahead of the legs, and you're going to have a player that's pulling his front shoulder off of the ball early. The hands are going to cast. You're going to get a lot of rollovers in length in that swing. So a way you can see that, from the side, from the back, simply look and see if we have a slower pace in the load stride process than we do the actual swing. Number three, hitting position. And here's where you're going to want to freeze frame what your son or daughter looks like when their stride foot hits the ground. There's some key checkpoints here that will relate to success with the ball-bat collision. Any error in these three categories usually translates to a bigger error by the time we get to ball strike. At the foot down position, we want players to look centered, have good width with the feet. With youth hitters, we're talking about 50% of their height. Hard to judge when we're looking at out that through a viewfinder, but we want to see that they're basically in their basketball defensive stance or what would be their base stealing stance. Depth in the knees is important to that as well. So we know we have good connection to the ground and we can explode from the lower half first. The hand should be back at foot down and the rear elbow will be elevated. This means we have resistance in the upper body and a full upper body loan. And then you will see the top of the bat tilted somewhere over the player's head. If we have an issue of the bat being flat at foot down or wrapped around the head, that's going to cause a leakage of the upper body flying off early. And finally, when a player gets to the foot down position and begins rotation, there's one more point I would like you to stop and get a stop action photo of while they're turning. And this is the connection point. And this simply means, are we staying short and in sequence as we rotate into the ball? As my barrel turns into the baseball, by the time the hands reach the body line, I want to see my hand, my rear elbow, and my pant line all in alignment. We call this connection. Now, how the player gets there, the rear elbow will lead initially ahead of the hands, but by the time the barrel is turned and gets even with the body, we should see all those lined up. If the elbow reaches the body line well ahead of the hands, then we have length in the swing. The only way we can catch that barrel up at that point is to pull the torso off and around the ball, causing a longer swing path. So this isn't going to help him correct the swing, but it is going to give you an ability to identify if we were in sequence on our way through the barrel turn process. So that will be able to rewind at that point and find out what the error was that was causing us to get to that length position at connection. So this is four ways you can use your smartphone to help identify errors that could potentially be causing problems in your son or daughter's success. Over the next month, we're going to go into detail in each four of these areas, and we'll use videos that will put a little bit more example and clarity into how you use your smartphone to help your son or daughter. To see that, join us at elitebaseball.tv. And until next week, I'm Justin Stone, and we'll see you on the field.
Great stuff as always from Justin Stone and his crew over at Elite Baseball. His elitebaseball.tv is a tremendous opportunity for anybody to, for like $99 a year, I think it is, or $97. You get to purchase this and have access to this 365 days a year, 24/7. At any time, you can learn how to teach your kids, your son, the same stuff that he's teaching his elite level player. So really good stuff as always from Justin. Time to take it over to my main man, Rick Strickland, over with the St. Louis Pirates. Let's hear what he has this week for his Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week, brought to you by the St. Louis Pirates. Take it away, Rick.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back on the show again this week. I want to talk briefly about a lot of these guys are done with their high school season, deep into getting ready to get deep into their summer schedule. A lot of these kids will spend a lot of time in the off season working out, training, getting bigger, stronger, faster. And some of these kids have had a whole bunch of workload, especially towards the end of the season as they've gotten closer to the districts and regionals and things that they play of that nature. So one of the things we want to make sure the kids are very aware of is once they start that season, a lot of these kids put a lot of work into their all-season training program. They need to go out and continue to maintain that strength by having some sort of in-season strength maintenance program to make sure that they don't lose what they've gained in the off season. The other thing that's really important about that is as guys get weaker, they tend to increase the chances of injury, sore arms, things of that nature. So I think it's very important that these guys make sure they stay with their trainers, stay with their strength coaches, and make sure they stay on that program of maintenance instead of letting their bodies get beat down and wore out. So that's my tip of the week. Make sure that the athletes stay on top of the athletic development part of it, even though they're in season. Thanks, Jim. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Really appreciate you. You know, and I appreciate everybody that contributes the content to the show, as I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's these guys and what they're sharing and they're doing to try to help you guys as parents, coaches, players, just enjoy the game of baseball. And there's, you know, I've said it once, I'll say it again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best baseball player you can be and see where it can take you. So though guys like that, you know, they don't grow on trees. So we really appreciate them deciding to take the time to be a part of our show. Really enjoyed doing it this week. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Travis Kerber. I encourage anybody that's listening to this show to check him out. Real easy to do. You can just Google Travis Kerber, baseball instructor, elitebaseball.tv. We'll get you right where you need to go for him. But at the end of the day, you know, Travis will even tell you, he's listening to other guys as well. He's not an expert. You know, he's not the end-all be-all, okay? Even though he's great, he's always getting better. And if a guy like Travis can be getting better, we all should be trying to get better. That should be the message to everybody when you listen to a guy like that that's humbled enough to say, hey, you know, I'm learning every day. So, you know, again, that's what we do here. We're just trying to share information. So special thanks again to the Pitch Hitter for bringing us the Domingo segment, pitchhitter.com. Don't forget, PH10 is the promo code to receive 10% off your Pitch Hitter. Looking forward to next week's show. Got something in store. Really enjoyed doing the Monday Morning Solutions this week. Heard from a lot of people on it, and I was surprised. Thought I was going to catch a lot of flack on this one. I am shocked at the amount of people that have contacted me, that have listened to it, that I've talked to, that are like, thank God that you said it out loud. Because we all think it, but nobody wants to be that guy and be disrespectful of an umpire. And again, I'm going to go back to this. I'm not being disrespectful of umpires. I don't think there's not one umpire that's doing this that came up with this idea. I assure you. Not one of us have an umpire at our game that he was the one that came up with this idea. I have no idea where it started or how it started, okay? But it needs to stop. It's that simple. It needs to stop. So it's just my opinion, and love to hear more from you guys on it because I got to be honest, I've not gotten one email. I have not been direct messaged. I've not been text messaged. I've not been messaged from anybody saying, you're crazy. We got to have the big strike zone, and here's why. I would love to hear that. I'd love to hear it. But I think at the end of the day, the problem is, you know, I don't ever claim to be right 100% of the time. But the one thing that I'm right about is you can't argue against the fact that they're not calling the rules. They've decided to take a rule and say, we're not going to call it for the quote unquote betterment of the game. Come on. I think I've shown you why it's not better. So just an opinion from one guy. So, but it seems like there's a lot of people out there that agree with me, which doesn't happen too often, by the way. No, I do. I appreciate all our listeners and their support. So I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and special thanks to my producer, Brian, and his intern, Stone, for sitting in and always lending me a hand putting this show together. They're the guys that do all the dirty work behind the scenes, and I look forward to bringing you my show next week. We'll see you next week.
Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to the show. You can find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of the LMG Network's podcasts at lineupmediagroup.com.